This morning, my attention is turned to the Epistle of Jude. Just one chapter, obviously, and the message is timely. We won't read the whole chapter, but just a portion of it. But if you'll turn with me. This chapter has been on my heart for several days, and I just couldn't shake it. Not that I was trying to shake it, but it just kept impressing me that the importance of his message and what he said here. And let's just start beginning reading at verse 1. It's a Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And I want to pause right here. He was constrained to write this letter because of the apostate teachers that were perverting the grace of God and were undermining the truth in the various churches. He said, I intended to write to you and encourage you of the common salvation. But he said, I have to write to you to earnestly contend for the faith, which is being challenged, which the enemy is attacking through false teachers. I wanted you to hear. He says, I had to write this to you and tell you this is important. And if ever there was a time, and how many years ago did James or Jude write this epistle, 2,000 years plus or minus. But the message is current today in this respect that we have false teachers. We have all kind of doctrines out there. We have great pressure, if I could say it like this, to water down the message. It's all about feeling good. It's all about coming to church and being entertained or being occupied and finding community. And that's all good. I'm not against any of that. But the central message is Jesus Christ and him crucified. The message that he can save the soul. He can change. He can cause you to feel his presence, his peace, and his joy. Praise God. And here he cites in the Old Testament, we won't read it. He indicts them as sexually impure, these teachers. If you look at verses 4, 8, 16, and 18, you don't have to read it. Compromising like Cain, covetous like Balaam, rebellious like Korah, arrogant, deceptive, sensual, divisive. This is what is facing. And I look around today and I forget about all the other denominations. I just look at the Pentecostal ranks, the various Pentecostal ranks. There's a lot of watering down the necessity of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, of walking in the Spirit. There's not much preaches. It's a lot of feel-good messages. It's a lot about how God helps you in your life and in your marriage and this and that and the other. And that's all good stuff. But, brother and sister, the main message, the central point is Jesus Christ. The brother said victory in Jesus. It's victory in him today. Praise God. And we need his presence and his power. And we say, Lord, help us in this day in which we live, that we earnestly contend for the faith. Well, how do I do that? How do I earnestly contend? Are we going to march on Washington, or are we going to write our congressman? Hey, there's a place for all that stuff, but that's not what the Word of God is saying. It's how we live our life and how we worship and how we comport ourselves and how we honor the Lord and how we follow His will in our lives. Praise God. That's what's important. That's what's key. Praise the Lord. And he goes on to say, I want to go to the 20th verse through the end. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. I want to pause right there for a moment. But ye beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith. How do we build ourselves up in our most holy faith? By praying in the Holy Ghost. And what are we praying in the Holy Ghost? Does that mean you speak in tongues in your prayer? No, not necessarily. Praying in the Holy Ghost is allowing the Holy Spirit to lead and guide your prayer. It's not just a mechanical prayer. Lord, bless this. Lord, take care of that. Lord, take care of this. But it's an anointing that the Holy Spirit, we're sensitive and we allow Him to pray through us. That we allow Him to put on our hearts the things that we need to pray for. And Paul writes in Romans, says, we don't know the things that we ought to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. The Holy Spirit leads our prayer and guides us, praise God, and it's allowing the Spirit of God to pray through us. Oh, praise God, oh Lord, help us to be prayer warriors more than ever in this day in which we live. The church is no greater than its prayer meeting. Without prayer, praise God, we're powerless. Without prayer to turn loose the power of the Holy Spirit, to the anointing for that communion that we need to feel, without prayer, we're dry. But we need that prayer. We need to pray in the Holy Ghost and pray, Lord, lead me and guide me and show me your way. Oh, Lord, speak to my heart. Help me, Lord, to be moved by your Spirit. Help me, Lord, to move according to your will. Help me, Lord, to step through the doors you want me to step through. Praise the Lord. Oh, Lord, help us. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Can we just digest that a moment? Keep yourselves in the love of God. Aren't you glad for His love this morning? It's His love that we are here. He saw us afar off. He saw us when we were lost and undone. He saw us in an unlovable state. But He called us and He brought us into communion. He opened our eyes to the truth of the gospel message. Praise God. And He showed us the way to walk. Oh Lord, continue to be with us looking for the love of God. He says, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Not to be judgmental, but to be concerned for the lost. Not to say, well, I'm sorry they're like that, but well, that's their choice. No, there's a compassion that God gives us. A compassion for souls. A compassion for those who are lost because their eyes are blinded. They don't see. Once we were blinded, once we didn't see, once we thought, well, you know, I'm a good person. I go to church. Everything's okay. That's fine. That's as far as it goes. But there's something deeper. There's a spiritual walk. There's a communion that we feel with the Lord. It's not just being part of a church. It's not being part of this community of believers. No, it's more than that. It's relationship with Jesus Christ. It's knowing Him as a personal Savior, being able to talk with Him, being able to commune with Him, that He is by our side, to have that God presence around us. We may not be praying constantly, but we feel the presence of the Lord around us. We know He is with us. Because His Spirit witnesses with our spirit that we belong to Him, praise God. That's something that no matter if the pastor tells you that or anybody, it's important, that's okay. But it's when the Holy Spirit witnesses with our spirit that we belong to Him, praise God. Oh, praise God. Lord, help us. Once we were lost, of some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. We have loved ones that we know are not spiritually in good shape. I don't want to sound judgmental. You know what I'm saying? We know they're not serving God. They haven't surrendered their hearts and lives to Jesus Christ. They're good people, as the world would term good people. But they need that surrender. They need to come to the foot of the cross and confess they're sinners, they're lost and undone. And that happens by revelation. That happens by getting in the presence of God. That happens by God revealing himself to each and every one. Amen. It's not why I learned it. I learned I was a sinner. Well, the word says I'm a sinner, but you know that reality didn't come. That reality doesn't really penetrate us, it seems like, at times, until we come into his presence. I'll never forget that night in a prayer meeting. I've been in church all my life. You know my story. I've been in church all my life. Love the Lord. Had taken the water baptism. And the pastor called for prayer meetings. It was towards the end of the year. And I was praying like many others my age and around that time that were praying. And I was at a prayer meeting one night and I was very timid. I was 15 or 16 years old. Kids don't pray out very much. And I was praying in the corner and silent, you know, just praying to myself. And you know, a few times I remember being in a prayer meeting and I looked around and there were people raising their hands and crying out to God. And I was sitting there and I was going, I don't think I'd ever have that kind of openness before the Lord to be able to do that. It was something that, you know, I was just taken back. I said, you know, I don't think I can do that. And one night, I went to the prayer meeting, and a brother came next to me, and he just started praying over me, and I don't know what happened, but he put his arm around me, and I began to weep and weep and just weep, and it was just a cry of joy. I can't explain it, but I felt a load being taken off of me. I felt a load. What could a 15 or 16-year-old kid, what possibly could they feel that was that bad? I can't explain it, but I can tell you what I felt. I felt a load being lifted off of me. And he began to pray over me, and he just spoke in tongues and just continued to pray, and I felt such a joy and a peace in my soul. The Lord didn't fill me with the Holy Ghost right then and there. It was a few weeks later. But I'll never forget that experience. It's something, the reality of it, that I understand what it was now. The load of sin was being lifted. Praise God. I received remission of sins right then and there. And I didn't realize it at the time. I didn't know the Word of God that much. But I realize it now, what was taking place, that the Lord was taking that load of sin off me. I confessed it. I laid it all on the altar and God took it. Praise God. And it wasn't just a few weeks later the Lord filled me with the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise His name. Praise His name. Oh, Lord, thank you. You need an experience with Jesus Christ. You need to come in contact with Him. I love the vision in Isaiah when he sees the vision of the Lamb on the throne and the seraphims and cherubims that were around him. And he said, Lord, I'm a sinful man. Oh Lord, I just am overwhelmed by the presence of God. I'm overwhelmed by what I see. He saw that he says, I am a man of unclean lips. And an angel took a hot coal off the altar and took it and put it on his tongue to cleanse him. But oh, praise God, he was changed. He was changed by coming in contact with the Lord. Praise God. It may not be in a vision. It may be in a prayer meeting. It may be by yourself, whatever the case may be. But we need to come in contact with Him. Yes. Praise God. Well, how do I pull them out of the fire? I see people that are headed down a wrong path, that made some bad decisions, that seem to have no interest in serving the Lord and not wanting to come clean, not wanting to surrender their lives. They're satisfied with where they are. I've got a good life, a nice family, and I come to church. I'm a good person. I take care of people, and you know, I'm a good person. And they're satisfied with that. There's more, my brother and sister. There's so much more. You're missing the greatest blessings in the world, praise God. When the Holy Spirit begins to work in your soul, when you feel that communion with the Lord, when you feel His presence and His power in your life, there's such a change. There's something that you can't put into words. Something that stirs the soul, praise God. Oh, praise God. Oh, Lord, help us. How do I pull them out of the fire? I talk to my son or my daughter and my husband or my wife, and they turn me off. They don't want to hear it anymore. They don't want to hear about God. And that's why he says, pray in the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Amen. Look for the mercy of God. Stay in the love of God. Praise God. Say, Lord, give me love. Give me patience. Give me endurance. I'm going to keep praying. Well, I can't talk to him no more. I understand that. I've been there myself. I can't talk. They won't listen, but God's got to reach them. And you know how you reach them? Through prayer. Begin to call on God. Begin to put them on the altar. Say, Lord, I'm not going to let go. I'm going to be like that woman that kept knocking on the judge's door and said, Lord, you got to help me. And God is faithful. Praise God. We may have to pray a while, but that's okay. God is faithful. Praise the Lord. Some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, healing, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. You see, the Holy Spirit has to lead us, because everyone's different. We can't make a rule. Well, if you talk to someone this way, that this work. No, the Holy Spirit has to lead you and guide you in your approach and your speaking to someone or talking to them. And pray that the Lord gives you opportunities. Pray that God open a door that you be able to speak. Praise God. And sometimes the Holy Spirit will put on your heart to do something. Do it. Don't hesitate. Do it. Listen to the first voice and say, oh God, help me to reach. Help me to reach my loved one. Help me to cause them, Lord, to want to follow you. Oh, praise his name. Oh, Holy Spirit, have your way. We need the presence of the Holy Spirit. We need his touch. We need his leading. The word says in John, that beautiful, those chapters 14, 15, and 16, he'll lead you in all truth. He's the glorifier of Christ. He's the one that will guide you. He's the one that will cause you to be strong. Praise God. Oh, he'll open doors. He'll make a way. He'll give you the words that you need to have. Well, I don't know the word of God that much. I don't know how to speak. Just let the Holy Spirit have his way in you. Praise God. And I pray that Lord, help us. Lord, help us in these days that we hold forth the truth of the gospel, that which we heard from the beginning, declare we unto you now. The word of God in this congregation hasn't changed for over 100 years. We're preaching the same truth. And I don't say that with pride, like, oh, look at us, we're something. No, we're not. It's the grace of God. It's the mercy of God that he allowed us to stay pure and hold on to the word of God. It's not popular. It's not popular way. Oh, no, you speak too much about sin. You talk too much about, you know, the things that displease the Lord. Well, that's what God wants. He tries to correct us. He tries to lead us and guide us. Lord, speak to us what we need to hear. Amen. Praise God. I pray the Holy Spirit continue to keep us and guide us and lead us, because it's much watered down in the Christian ranks today. You don't hear about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I've listened. I tune in. I've listened to YouTube and other places, and you don't hear much about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Why not? Why not? Because the enemy wants to quell and stifle the message, because it is the power of God that works in our life. Jesus said before he ascended, you shall have power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall have power. And what happened to the disciples on the day of Pentecost? They turned into dynamos in the Spirit. They were afraid. If you read the last chapter of John, and it talks about they were hiding behind closed doors. They were afraid because of the persecution. They just killed Jesus, and they were afraid they were going to be persecuted. And they were hiding behind closed doors. But when the Holy Spirit came, they got up. Peter got up that day and preached a sermon. 3,000 said, Lord, what must we do to be saved? Holy, yeah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Oh, Lord, change us. And when they prayed, they were threatened. Peter and John were threatened by the authorities at that time. You read the persecution began, and they were threatened. And they went back to that group in Jerusalem, and they had a prayer meeting. And you know what they prayed? They didn't pray, Lord, help us to hide out, help us to go underground, help us to, you know, protect us from the authorities. They didn't pray that prayer. They said, Lord, give us more boldness to proclaim your word. Praise the Lord. And it said when they were done praying, the place where they were praying shook under the power of God. Oh, I would love to see that here. You know, it'd be okay if we have a few cracks in the wall. I wouldn't mind that at all. Okay, we'll repair them, but that's okay. You know what that was? I kind of leave them there and put a sign on it. This is when the Holy Ghost took over. Praise God. You see that crack? That came on May the so-and-so, 2023, when the Holy Ghost moved. Praise God. The place shook under the power of God. Oh, Lord, help us. Help us to stand firm. Someone once said to me, Brother Ron, I think you're too hard on the congregation at times. And I really kind of caught me off guard. And I said, I'm sorry you feel like that. I said, but I don't have any control over the messages. They're not my messages. I just have to preach what the Lord's put on my heart. And this person is a nice, a fine person. They were just being honest. And sometimes the enemy can make it sound like that. Oh, it's a hard road. It's a narrow way. Yes, it is a narrow way. Yes, it is a hard road. You got to declare. Are you going to follow the Lord? Or are you going to follow your humanity? We got many people today with their own gospel. The gospel according to so-and-so. This is what I think the word says. No, it's not what you think or what I think. It's what does the word say? Praise God. What does the word declare? How does the word want us to behave? Well, I don't think that's important. Lord, Holy Spirit, reveal to us what you want us to hear, that we may walk in that perfect, straight, and narrow road that may bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ. It's not going to be popular. It's going to be, and you know, there's pressure today. I know there's pressure. Don't talk too much about sin. Don't get into the details, because people get offended. We're not here to offend you. Believe me, brothers and sisters, we're not here to offend you. We're here to help you get to heaven. We're here to show you the way. We're here to tell you what the Lord says. It's not the gospel according to Brother Ron. I didn't write it. But I believe it. And I'm trying to live it the best that I can. Praise God. Lord, help us. Help us to walk according to your perfect will. Praise God. I love what Paul writes in Romans. He says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your what? Your reasonable service. It's not over and above. This is what God expects. Present your body a living sacrifice, not what I want. And you see, here's the hard part. It's the surrender that's the hard. You mean I got to give this up? You mean I got to give that up? You mean I can't go here? You mean I can't do this? We don't have a rule book here. Where's the rule? What is it? Can I go to this place? I mean, look it up in the rule, but we don't have a rule book. We have the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Amen? The Spirit witnesses. He's the truth teller. Amen. Praise God. I've used this example before. You know, in most of the cars today, they have navigation, GPS systems. You ever used one and you've had to make a wrong turn, turn around, take the next right. And that's the Holy Spirit. We get off the path. We get off the road. Holy Spirit flag. The Spirit witness is right here. You don't need nobody to tell you. You know, when I was a kid, I wanted to do things. I was a teenager. I wanted to do things. And in my heart, I knew it was wrong. I wanted to go to a dance one time because I wanted to be popular like the rest of the kids. And I knew it was wrong. But I was a class officer in high school, And so I went to my mom. My dad already passed. I went to my mom to get permission. You see, if she said it's okay, I'm not guilty. You get it? You ever do that, kids? You ever do it? Mom says it's okay, I'm good. And my mom pulled a switcheroo on me. She said, okay. If it's okay, if the Holy Spirit within you says it's okay to go, you go ahead. Oh, kiss of death. That's it. You see what I mean? It's not a rule book. It's the Holy Spirit that witnesses to us, that causes us to understand. Why does he do that? That we can't have fun, that he wants to cramp our style, as the expression goes? No, he wants to keep us out of danger. You don't, and I don't see the danger that's ahead. We don't know what's all around us, but God sees. He's looking down. We never get off his radar screen. He sees where we are. He knows how we act. He knows our behavior. And he sees the enemy that is trying to lay a snare for us. Yes. And things that are, you know, just innocuous. Things that are not serious. Little things that we don't even think about at times. And that's why we ask the Lord, Lord, lead me. Is it okay? Too many times we just assume it's okay. Too many times, I'll speak for myself, I didn't think about, is this the right thing to do? I'll tell you kind of a related story, and I'm going to close. We saw this exercise thing. I even forgot what it was. When we were living in an apartment, we first got married. It was, oh, that looks pretty good. It was $100. A lot of money in those days. Didn't think about it. Seemed like a reasonable thing to do. Now, this is not a spiritual thing, but it illustrates the point. Well, got it home, looked at it for a while, used it about two or three times, and it sat in the corner until we gave it away, sold it, or got rid of it somehow. And sometimes it's like that spiritually. We do things without asking the Lord, Lord, is this what you want? Am I proceeding down the right path? Well, you know, Brother Ron, God gives us a good mind. We don't have to ask the Lord for everything, do we? Do we? Don't we need his guidance? Don't we need his leading? We may not specific, but Lord, today, lead me and guide me. Lord, help me to make the right decisions. Lord, charter my path that it'll bring glory and honor to your name. And somehow the Lord helps us. I'm going to close. Brother, sister, would you come forward? He says, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. That's, to me, that's the essence of the message. Build up your faith. Your race is different than my race. Your pathway is different than my pathway. And you need the Lord to lead you and guide you and help you. I need him to lead and guide me. We have different experiences. But praying in the Holy Ghost is something we can all do. Amen. Hence, the necessity of the baptism. How do we pray in the Holy Ghost if we're not baptized in the Holy Ghost? Lord, help us, baptize us. Those that are seeking the baptism, I'm encouraging you to keep pressing and keep praying. Well, Brother Ron, I don't know if I need the Holy Ghost. Well, let me tell you, unequivocally, you need the Holy Ghost. You need it. Just read the Word. Read the epistles. Read how they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Read how God led them. You don't need the Holy Ghost. You do need the Holy Ghost. You need his power. You need his presence. You need his guidance. Read in the 14th and 15th and 16th of John. It tells you all the things he does. And sometimes we're cavalier and we say, well, you know, I can handle it. I'm good. I got a good mind. I'm resourceful. I can navigate my own ship. And those all may be true. But you can't see the whole picture, and God does. Amen. What you think is a good move, God's saying, nope. Don't go there. Don't do that. You're in danger. And that's why we need his presence and his power. Amen. As well as just the relationship. When the Holy Spirit moves on you and you feel that unction of the Holy Spirit and the just flows through you. I can't put it in words, but you know, they talk about these drugs that give you an ecstasy, that give you such a feeling. It doesn't even compare. I wouldn't know. I can't compare what those drugs are, but I can tell you this. When you feel the presence and power of the Lord, oh, my brother, when he says, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, nor entered in the heart of man what God has prepared for those that love him. When he says those words in Corinthians, oh yes, amen. If this is only a taste, if this is only a part of it, if there's just a little bit of it, can you imagine what it's going to be like in glory? All sorrow and sadness are going to be banished, going to be gone. No more problems, no more pressure, no more stress. No more disappointments. No more tears. Praise the Lord. Oh, brother and sister, you don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss it. It's going to be so glorious. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Lord, help us. Give us that spiritual walk. May the Lord encourage you. May his name be praised. Do we have a song?